It's time to talk Pac-12 football. This is the Pac-12 Insider here on ESPN 700. The Pac-12 Insider is presented by Summit Foot and Ankle, with 9 Utah locations to serve you. Now for the latest on Pac-12 football, here's the Pac-12 Insider on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
One of my favorite guys to talk Pac-12 football with. He knows football. He really knows football in the North and Northwest really well, too. Longtime coach at Oregon. Spent a little time with the Beavs, too. And down the line, he's spent time pretty much his entire career coaching. And we appreciate him when he could join us. Member of the Pac-12 Network. And I'm just curious, are you going to be in Salt Lake City this week, Nick Aliotti?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. We're not there. We as in our broadcast team, the sideline, pregame, and all that, going to Arizona.
Ah. Well, I think
we have no choice.
Yeah, you just go where they tell you, right?
Absolutely. We'll leave it at that, Bill.
So you tell me, because I was calling that Utah-Arizona State game. How surprised were you by the result in Corvallis, and how did Oregon State keep that game so close?
I tell you what, Saturday was so much fun the whole day, and then to end it with USC at Oregon State in Corvallis, it was rocking and rolling. 25,000 people or whatever they were able to see. Oregon State, that game was equal, okay? Obviously, Oregon State had 4 turnovers to USC, 0, and lost by a field by, you know, a touchdown or the amount of a field goal point at the end of the game. So that was a very good game, and Oregon State looks tough, but they always look tough at home. Bill, don't you have them at your place this weekend?
Yep, they come to Salt Lake City this week, and their home field's torn up, too. Reser Stadium's half under construction right now as well. Have they gotten that much better on defense, Nick?
They looked really good against SC. Now, you know, you guys are a little bit different offense attack. SC wants to throw the ball down the field for the most part, and I think they match up really well. I was really impressed by how their DBs, their corners, match up with SC's receivers. They could run with them and get after them. And Caleb Williams was rattled most of the night, was a little bit off. You know, you guys, SC was, SC's 4-0. They're 7th in the country. I'm trying to put it to you this way. They don't do a whole lot, meaning there's not a lot of motion and shifting. It's pretty pretty vanilla, and the Beavers were ready for them, where I think you guys do more, and Oregon State won't have that home crowd. But, yes, they've improved. That's a long-winded answer to tell you, yes, they've improved. But we're going to really find out this weekend, because when they play away, I think they're a little bit different team.
So what was it that they were able to do? Because SC looked like an offensive machine, and they held them to 17 points. Was that some of that on SC too?
Yes. I think, like I said, I think the crowd and playing away, you know, for all practical purposes, this was SC's first away game where there was a crowd and some college football atmosphere and intensity and noise. No offense intended towards Stanford, but that day, that's a kind of a sleepy place in the day, and just not the same as it'll be in Utah this weekend for Oregon State. But they were off a little bit. And as I mentioned, I thought that Trent Bray had a great game plan, mixing up coverage and zone coverage and tight man coverage and some blitzes. And they just match up, Bill. Their corners can run with SC's receivers. So, they have a very good pass defense.
Well, that score, the final surprised me. I thought SC could win that. I thought it would be a little bit more high scoring, that's for sure. Just give me your big picture. We played a month of football now, Nick. Give me kind of your big picture where the conference is.
I think the conference is strong. I think right now there's 7 teams maybe eight, but seven for sure in my mind, that can be in the championship. I think there's two gimmies for everybody else, and there's a few teams that if you're not ready can upset you if you just don't play your A game or not ready on that given Saturday. But the fact that there's seven really good, really good football teams in this conference, it excites me because I think easily watching college football, that seven teams in this league, and I'm not being a homer, just watching throughout the first 4 weeks, I think there's seven teams in this conference that could easily be ranked in the top 25.
I wouldn't disagree with you. Of those seven teams, what's the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise is how good I think Washington State and Oregon State are playing on both sides of the ball. Those are the biggest surprises. I expected SC, Utah, UCLA, and Oregon to be good, but those two have really surprised me. They've jumped out. So I think the league is strong, and it makes it very exciting to see how this is going to unfold with a lot of football to play, particularly the new way they're doing the championship game for the Pac-12.
Washington, to me, I thought they would be good, Nick. I did. I picked them, I think, fifth overall in the league this year. I think maybe they're a little bit better. Now, Michigan State may not be as good as we thought they were with their back-to-back losses, but I've been impressed with how smooth that offense looks and the defense playing well, too, up in Seattle.
Yeah, Washington was one of the other teams I was supposed to mention, but obviously didn't do that. Without a doubt, Washington's done what they're supposed to do so far. I don't believe they've played anybody yet because we look at the Michigan State game and because of the polls and the hype, and that was part of my what's my beef. I don't like polls until 5 or 6 weeks into the thing where you really get to digest and see what people are doing. So really, they've done what they're supposed to do. They're a surprise team with a new coach. Offensively with Penix, they're really clicking. And defensively, they're playing good ball. They would be – actually, that would have been the team that I should have talked about instead of Washington State, you know, and Oregon State. But I lost my mind. So you helped me out there, Bill.
Well, yeah, I was just throwing it out there. I thought they were interesting. We're talking to our buddy Nick Aliotti here on the Bill Riley Show today on ESPN 700. Did we write the Ducks off too soon? Is this who we? I mean, they've bounced back with a big home win against BYU, and then they went up on the Palouse and came roaring back from behind. Did we announce the death of the Ducks a little prematurely?
I think that we announced the death of a lot of our Pac-12 teams prematurely. Not those of us that are in this league, but the national. You know, media or whatever, it just seems like, you know, I try to be real with this. Let's wait 5 or 6 weeks to see who's good. But, yes, we wrote them off too quickly, number one. And number two, I wouldn't want to have to play in this conference. I'm telling you, there's 7, 8 teams that are really, really good that can beat you on any given weekend. And I don't know who the best team is right now. After watching that USC Oregon State game, USC to me is going to have trouble on the road. They go to your place, Bill?
Yes. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they'll be here.
They seem to be bothered by the crowd because there were three in the first half. They used up all their timeouts. That being USC, with 11 minutes to go in the first half. The crowd noise really bothered him.
Yeah.
They looked, you know, I like to walk around and get behind the teams. They looked a little bit disjointed. I'm not trying to pick on SC. I'm just saying they looked a little disjointed in their first real test on the road is all I'm trying to say.
Nick, as we kind of look at things right now, Utah's still in the mix. They're without Keithy, though, and I'd be curious your thoughts on Utah, minus Brandt Keithy. We found out this morning it's an ACL, so he's going to be done for the year. But just give me an idea of where you see Utah right now. The defense has certainly gotten better. But as they approach a really tough month, it's Oregon State at home this week, at UCLA next week, home with USC, and then at Washington State. So it's a tough four games coming up. But give me your read on Kyle's team after a month.
I still think, you know, I'm not going to say who the best team in the conference is right now because, wow, I've seen a lot of good ones. But Utah is certainly one of those that I'm talking about. I think losing Brandt Keithy is going to really hurt because of what they like to do with their tight ends, both in the run and the pass game and moving them out as wide receivers. I haven't really seen a wide receiver on Utah jump out at me where I go, wow, this guy's a guy to be reckoned with. So I think it's going to hurt them both in the run and the pass game. So we're going to have to see as we move forward. They do have four big games ahead of them. I have a lot of confidence in Kyle. I have a lot of confidence in Morgan. I have a lot of confidence in Ludwig. So I still like this staff and like this team. But I think Kuti being out is going to could hurt them. We'll have to see moving forward.
Two teams that I'm curious your thoughts on. One is Stanford. What's happened at Stanford? It feels like they've just the last 4 or 5 years kind of slowly but surely slid down the bottom of the rankings in the conference. I'll get you my other school in a minute. But give me your thoughts on what you've seen happen and why Stanford continues to struggle.
Well, I think I'm going to give you the short version being this. Stanford used to be a ball control offense with two backs, multiple tight ends, and keep the ball away from you, power running. They were different than anybody else in the conference. Now they're not as different. I don't see that as much offensively. And therefore, I remember when I was coaching and they were rolling Stanford, they were playing about 54 snaps to 60 snaps a game on defense, which helped their defense. Now their defense is having to play more snaps. They're not as strong there. They don't have elite speed to match up. So a combination of all those three things, I think, has really, really hurt Stanford.
Other school I wanted to ask you about because I just don't have any clue. UCLA, they're undefeated, but it doesn't feel like I know anything about them after four games.
You know your stuff, Riley. UCLA is 4-0. I think there'd be a lot of teams in this conference, especially the upper echelon, that would be 4-0. They're another team that really hasn't played anybody. No offense to those that they've played, but really, there's a lot of teams that would be 4-0 in this conference against the four teams they've played. I don't trust them. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. But right now, I don't trust them. They have Washington this weekend. This weekend, Friday night, will tell me a lot more about both of those teams. That's a game I'm really excited to watch because both of those teams I see – as in my top seven, but Friday will tell me a lot more.
Yeah, I think so too. Who's been the best player you've seen on the field, either side of the ball this year? Who's been the most impressive player you've seen through a month?
Wow. There's a few I could mention.
Okay, give me, if you don't have one in particular, just give me a couple then.
Nick has done a great job. Penix has done a great job. And how about the running back at Cal?
Whew.
you know, and Charbonnet. I mean, there's a lot. But I guess if I had to pick one right now, I love that running back at Cal, because they've finally given him given Cal explosion with the guy. When he gets into the second level, that guy can go. But there's a lot of good football players in this league. No, and there's a lot of guys playing at a high caliber, too.
It's funny. You mentioned three offensive guys. You're a defensive guy. You can even give me a defensive player, Nick.
I know. I'd have to really sit there and think. you know, Sewell's kind of not had the year that he's had. The kid at Washington State, the linebacker, I want to say Daly, is it Daly? God, I hate when I get the name wrong. But the inside backer there that kind of leads the league in tackles for losses, he's been a guy that's jumped out at me more than anybody else. But nobody's really jumped out. I like the corners at Oregon State. Wow, those are good players now, those two corners.
Well, Utah will get to see them up close and in person coming up this Saturday. Just, you're not going to be here. You're going to be down in the desert. But just kind of give me your thoughts on this Utah-Oregon State matchup as they get ready to go on Saturday at noontime here in Salt Lake.
Well, Oregon State's improved. Last year, Oregon State did not win a game on the road. Utah is still Utah, solid, well coached. I think it'll be a good close game within the 10-point range. I think Utah overall, being at home, probably if I had to pick the team, I'd go with Utah.
Where is Oregon State most dangerous? Is it just they've got to run the football, right? For them to really be effective, they've got to run the football?
They got a young running back themselves, Jam Griffin. Be ready for him. He adds explosion to that offense. He's a freshman, and he just got in the second half for the most part against SC, and he rushed for almost 100 yards. And if he breaks the line of scrimmage, he's a special cat. He's got something to him that Fenwick doesn't bring. I'm not saying Fenwick's not a good back, because I think he is. But this kid, if he breaks the line of scrimmage, he's got some talent there. I got off on a tangent. What was the exact question, Bill? I'm sorry.
I was just saying, where are they most dangerous? Is it just they have to run the football, and if they can run the football, that sets everything else up?
Absolutely. I think Jonathan does as good a job. Him and Ludwig, to me, they're the two offensive coordinators that I think do an outstanding job. So you got two good offensive minds going against one another, or not going against, but in that stadium at the same time today. Jonathan has enough run game that's good, mixed in with play action. When they run it, their play action game is great. And then he has just always a few good little tricks that can hurt you, but they're not so gimmicky that they're off the wall. They just go off of their normal offense and can cause problems. They'll have to run it to give you guys a problem.
Right. I mean, that's just who they are. If you can make them, if you can slow down the run, Chance Nolan's not likely to beat you with his arm, is he?
No, he's much improved, I thought, throwing the ball down the field, but he really struggled against SC because he made a couple of real bad throws that he had no business throwing in the coverage that were picked off. And they're better when their run game's going, because then he doesn't have to throw the ball down the field as much in a drop-back situation.
Nick Aliotti with us. Hey, before I let you go, any chance you're throwing your name in the hat in the ring for the ASU job?
No. Those days are past me. As far, you ask, I love the question. As far as coaching the X's and O's, do it. I'd have to get some young kids that really want to recruit. I can't see myself. I'm a realist. I can't see myself in the grind of recruiting with portal, NIL. I'd go nuts with that. too old for that stuff, Bill, but I appreciate, I'll take it as a vote of confidence.
Yeah, take that as a vote of confidence, because if you can coach, you can coach. But yeah, you're right. There's always so much else that goes into that job that sometimes it just isn't worth it. Hey, good catching up with you. Have fun in Arizona with the crew this week. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Thanks
for having me on.
Always. That's the great Nick Aliotti.